At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, that sounded rough. Brayden and Davey here for Up Next, postwrestling.com, whatever podcast app you're listening to us, or you are
live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, YouTube room. How are we doing?
It is a Wednesday. Usually we do these things on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We go live on Tuesday nights, talk about NXT, 10:15 p.m. But yesterday was your birthday.
Yeah.
So instead, we took the night off, and then we're here today at 2 p.m. Eastern time to talk about NXT.
Yeah. What a time.
Wow.
What a time.
Wow.
We had a great night. It was awesome. We ate steak. We went bar hopping. We had a lot of steak.
Jules Bistro, Queen Street West.
Oh, my God.
Amazing steak.
Our friend cried.
Our friend legit. Our friend, shout out Graham, who might be in his car driving home right now, cried at the steak that we ate last night. I don't know if I've ever eaten anything.
I've never had something that good.
It's like my favorite steak at this place. We love this place. But I don't know if I've cried at food before. But he had tears down his face. And we were like, Graham, what's wrong? Thought we're having a nice time. The steak is just so good.
So good. That the peppercorn sauce was real good.
Yeah.
That truffle sauce was real good.
So yes, a bit of a disclaimer. We are a little bit
worse for wear.
We're a little hungover, but who would we be if we didn't talk about NXT?
We gotta talk about NXT.
We could not.
It's our jobs.
Exactly.
It's our right. It's our, I don't know, man.
This is
what we gotta do.
Yes, so we're here today to talk about NXT, but bear with us because, oh boy, we are definitely feeling the effects. Our bank accounts are feeling the effects. My head is feeling the effects. Yep. Just a whole lot going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a whole lot going on.
What's going on, though? Are you good?
Man, I am struggling right now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make it sound like I'm a professional, but I am struggling
right now,
just to let you know. You never hear me say that.
No.
I'll always joke, hangovers. But today, this is tough.
I'm like, tough. I don't have a head. I'm just tired, I think. I feel like maybe later. I'm still.
You don't have work later, do you?
No, God, no.
I do.
No. I might try and have a bit of a walk. It does look quite nice out there. Try and shake up the cobwebs. But we recorded a show called Best Match Ever Europe last week.
We did, and we weren't hungover for that. So, look, after such a night last night, If you enjoy the BDE, if you enjoy Poisonrana Up Next, now's the time to go to patreon.com/poisonrana because just last night alone was costly.
Yeah.
So today you can help support your favorite independent podcasters by going to our Patreon, by going to Chop Tees and supporting your boys. But we have a Was Next coming out this week where we go back in time to review old NXT, and we just recorded it yesterday, and we talk about the April 17th, 2014 edition, Neville versus Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
Paige winning the Divas title. Mm-hmm. Some crazy stuff going on in NXT.
The first ascension between Charlotte and Sasha.
Yeah, which would lead to many, many years of dissension between those two.
Yeah.
So that was a show that's coming out on the Patreon. We did a Best Match Ever Europe part two. That means there's part one and two on the Patreon, going through some classic European matches, including Danielson versus Swerve from All In just a week or so ago. And then we did a One Night Stand ECW 2005, which was also a really fun show. So that's where you can go to support your favorite boys.
Yeah. $5 at patreon.com/poison.
I thought there was a fly in my drink.
What was it?
And it's just like a, like some, just some like other
bit
thing.
Of salt from
the, I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's not a fly. So no, that's
it's
good.
All good.
Yeah.
Talking of flies, eagles don't hunt them. It comes out on Friday. They're talking about the Shield breaking up this week.
Oh no! Already?
On the free feed.
Wow.
This Friday, search Poison Rana.
That's right. You should search Poison Rana in your podcast app and hit that subscribe, because we do many, many shows. Are we gonna be? You're working Saturday for All Out.
Oh yeah.
So, are we still gonna be going live on the Sunday? To talk about it?
Might need to be a little later to fit in the show. So maybe 3, something like that. If that works.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. So again,
I can't think beyond today right now.
I can't think of where, I don't even know who I am right now. So it's okay. So lots and lots of stuff. You should follow the socials for everything that we do, because we like to go live. We like to record podcasts and we like to have fun. Mm. Yeah. It was your birthday.
Yeah.
You didn't watch NXT. Did you? You were also away for No Mercy.
I finished it this morning.
You finished No Mercy this morning?
I watched No Mercy and then I watched NXT.
Wow. Okay.
Nothing really blew me away.
Okay.
On the show, I thought maybe probably the tag match at the beginning, like Fraxium really stepping up when it comes to those tag matches. We finally got the turn of Ridge, Red Herring Ridge. He pulled the trigger. That was pretty heartbreaking. Yeah. Wes and Wentz kind of just didn't hit like I it was kind of how I feared it might be. Just I don't think Wes has been compelling as a heel or believable as a heel, and yeah, it just didn't quite click for me. Was fine technically, like, just I didn't really get that emotion. It felt a little forced.
I think we're gonna get to another match between the two. I think that story is gonna continue, even though we didn't necessarily see that on this episode that we'll talk about. But I think
Wes costing them the tag titles.
Yeah, I think it's gonna continue on and get maybe a little juicier.
It was cool seeing Julia show up, but yeah, for me this felt like we're getting through this show and then all the big shit's gonna be happening soon with the CW. But it was fine, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Some good wrestling, just not to the level of Heatwave, I'd say.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, it definitely wasn't on that. I didn't necessarily love Bash in Berlin, but I think Bash in Berlin was better than that.
I think so too.
But the other way, I felt the other way when it was Money in the Bank weekend.
Yeah.
Heatwave. But yeah, I think Shawn Michaels had to get some of this. This was a holding pattern pay-per-view where it's like, now we're going to go to like, we got some things lined up, and I think we're going into some better stuff with the whole CW network, especially coming up in what, just a month?
It's very soon, October 1st.
It really doesn't affect people outside the US who watch this, because it's just always going to be however you watch it.
For now, it will be wherever it is, and then January, I believe, is when we'll get it on Netflix. So I'm looking forward to then. But I'm definitely, you know, being on the road for the first 2 weeks, looking to see, you know, any aesthetic changes they're going to do. Are they going to switch up the set a little bit? How many more debuts are we getting? We've already got a big match announced for that first show. I'm excited for the new era.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we just kick it into gear and talk about NXT?
Let's kick it into gear.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good, man.
You poured out my prime right before recording.
I'm so sorry.
I thought the, what are those things called? The hydraulics? No, not hydraulics. The
hydration drink?
No, what's in a Gatorade? What's in a prime?
Hey, electrolytes.
Electrolytes. Yeah. I thought they were really going to save me. And then
I was like, nope. Going to do this on the same level.
So
there's samosas in the air fryer, by the way.
There's samosas?
Yeah.
You also bought a cheesecake last night, or at least a piece of cheesecake, and then you left it out and it completely turned into cheesecake soup.
Yeah. I'll try.
I'll put it in the fridge. I think you did. Okay. Good.
I like how you didn't. You just
observed. No. I only found out about it like 20 minutes ago, and my friend Graham left and was like, "Hey, you know there's a piece of cheesecake here." I'm like,
"Well, what did you eat last night? Because I got home first."
We went to
and why did I get home first? I just ran off.
Yeah, you just left.
I was like, I need to go home.
You just left.
I've got No Mercy to
watch. I'm pretty sure when you left, that me and our friend Graham got, I got some sort of like biryani.
Okay.
Like rice.
Oh, did you go to my roti place?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then like we got that and then we started walking and then that's when we realized that you had disappeared. Like you were like, I'm off on an adventure.
I do remember saying like, I don't think I need to like, I need to keep moving. Yeah. I can't be standing around waiting for food.
So then we started walking and then we were like, all right, we're going to go head home too. And then he stopped at McDonald's and without missing a beat, they were like, hey, here's your order. And he ordered, I'm pretty sure I ate a McGriddle at like 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, he was trying to order.
I'm pretty sure it was like 6 o'clock by the time we got home.
Yeah.
Which was really bad, but I'm
no one wanted breakfast.
Food. I'm pretty sure I ate a McGriddle and I don't even know what a McGriddle is. But I think I ate one.
It's the closest thing to a burger on the breakfast menu, I think.
At 6 a.m. when I just wanted a burger. But I ate a McGriddle, so Shout out McGriddles, to be honest.
Yeah, I just got a bunch of samosas and then
didn't eat them.
I know I had a bunch cold on the way, and then I put them in the air fryer and fell asleep. Probably for the best.
Yeah,
I could be feeling a lot worse than I am. I'm doing all right. 35 is good.
Wow, 30 is the new 20.
Yeah, I'm 35 though, isn't it? Are you okay?
Yeah, no.
Let's talk about NXT.
Let's talk about NXT from Tuesday, September 3rd, 2024. Hey, that's your birthday. And we're kicking things off with a whole recap of No Mercy from this past weekend from Denver, Colorado, as we see clips of Joe Hendry losing to Ethan Page, mm-hmm. who's retained his NXT title. We see stuff like Trick and Pete Dunne fighting it out. Have you seen the Trick Williams music video?
I have, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Pretty good. I didn't know that he had that in him. I didn't necessarily. We've not really seen that.
Pretty with his promos, he's pretty slick.
Yeah.
Can speak pretty fast and has some nice lines. Yeah, I saw it.
If you're not sure what we're talking about, definitely check out. I believe he put it on his YouTube and his socials, but it's basically a Pete Dunne diss track. Which, again, we haven't necessarily seen that from Trick, but I thought he delivered. And better than other rapper gimmicks that we've kind of seen before. So I kind of hope we get to see more of that because I thought it was pretty good. It was definitely Julius Creed doing these poses that made the video for me. But yeah, really good stuff. Petey, you a butch, is what he kept saying in the song. We start things off with Trick Williams, who makes his way. He comes to the ring, and he's ticked off against Pete. He's mad that Ethan won the title, and he calls Petey a butch, but it's not Petey who comes out. It's Ethan Page who pretty much interrupts him right away and comes out as the crowd chants, put on some clothes, and then Page is kind of acting a little confused because he was, in fact,
he's wearing clothes.
Yeah. So that chant didn't necessarily make sense.
I'm shocked that chant got over.
It's definitely weird, but the fact that they were chanting, put on some clothes like, to two men who weren't not wearing clothes.
I wasn't a fan of the song,
yeah.
But like, I've got to give it to them. Like, he's got Ethan put on some clothes over. Crazy.
He's wearing very nice clothes, as Ethan Page usually does. And he says, you're shocked. You're shocked that I walked out as champion. And like, you'd be shocked too. Like, Trick, I'm the champion and there's nothing that you can do about it. And he's kind of rubbing it in his face that Trick basically had to count the three count on Sunday. But pretty much before this gets anywhere, it's Ethan who makes like a one-liner about like watching her back, and Trick does just that and turns around as Pete Dunne tries to attack him here. And then there's this crazy pull apart between them where we'll see this throughout the night that kind of goes on to their match.
Yeah, yeah, all throughout the night, just brawling around.
Mean Pete.
But not a bad opening. You know, I think it's just kind of reset things where we know Trick is probably the next challenger.
Yeah, as we will definitely get to. But Pete and Trick later on tonight. We see Hank and Tank backstage. They're all fired up about No Mercy and the match that they have tonight. When Gallus kind of passes them by and interrupts and says, oh, you're just like content. You just want to film stuff for your Instagram and your TikTokers.
Just such a these fucking boomers. Yeah. Oh, you
and your TikTokers. Kids,
your TikToks.
Except in the Scottish
and
accent,
your Instagrams.
Yeah. So they're saying there's no chance that Hank and Tank win because they're TikTokers.
They're TikTokers.
Instagrammers.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But Hank and Tank do post TikTok. I guess I know them from Instagram, but
yeah.
They just like eat food.
Eat food, and he wears that hat, doesn't he?
What hat?
The helmet.
Oh, right. The hat.
Yeah. Do you find them funny, their TikToks?
Yeah. I think they have like.
Would you want to hang out with these guys?
Yeah. I think they'd be fun. I think they have a nice time.
Yeah.
We could show them a few things, I think.
Yeah. Probably. I forgot we went to karaoke as well last night.
Oh, we did. Yeah. What did you sing?
Linkin Park.
What did I sing?
Taylor Swift.
No, I think I sang The Bad Touch by Bloodhound Gang.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. Like, as he's putting in my song, I changed it. I'm like, I'm so sorry, but card subject to change. And he's like, yeah, no worries. Shout out Ivan Rivers.
Yeah, he's great.
2-2 Tuesday. Jada Parker shows up here. And as she's walking, JC Jane and the Fatal Attraction. Cool. Is that a movie? I think.
Yeah.
They basically laugh at her like, oh, like, look at this loser, essentially, like coming in from her big loss on Sunday, which kind of rubs Jada the wrong way, which we'll definitely get into a bit later. But there's a ram sound from Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Influence.
Yeah.
Fatal Attraction.
Rascals versus Hank and Tank versus Gallus, a three-way triple threat tag team match, and the winners get to face Fraxium next week on WWE Week.
Is that what they're calling it? WWE Week.
WWE Week.
Why is it WWE Week?
Why isn't it?
Isn't every week WWE Week?
Yes, that is true, but the winner gets the match next
time.
This is Zachary wearing the X Division title here on USA Network, part of WWE NXT. And he's with Trey. And early on, they hit a bunch of their mushroom stomp moves here, which is pretty cool. Then they're hitting all sorts of different tag team combo moves. They start doing the drop kick, like Muda Lock. I think of the Machine Guns when I think of this move. But they're doing all sorts of really fast tactics here. But Hank and Tank are in. They're hitting different body slams on everyone. On the Rascals, and then they hit atomic drops on Gallus, or since watching our Rollerball Rocco, since the British commentators from 1987 did not call it an atomic drop, they called it a spine drop, which is a way more serious name for this move.
The spine drop.
Still an atomic drop. They get a honk honk in before we go to break. When we come back, there's a pretty cool fisherman like kind of slam from Hank. He's trying some new innovative stuff. But then Trey is in there. He's hitting all sorts of crazy fast moves. There's a huge DDT where he hits Mark Coffey and Hank at the same time, like making them drop down with like these crazy moves. It's pretty impressive. And then there's a double knees from Trey, and then the Swanton Bomb from Zachary, and they get the 1-2-3 pretty like quick. And I'd say it's kind of out of nowhere, because considering they use these moves not as finishers, but the Rascals do win this match.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen this version of the Rascals as much, have we?
Yeah.
We've seen the trios, and we've seen Wentz and Wes. So I like them, any combination you got. I think they're so fun to watch, and I like having multiple different kind of finishers you can do. I thought it was pretty fun. I kind of wanted a bit more out of this.
I
was kind of getting going, and then the match ended.
But
yeah, Rascals are great. I think that match against Fraxium is going to be awesome. I do enjoy Tank's hot tag where he comes in and he's cartwheeling over the place. It's just quite fun as these two meatheads. And then there were Gallus as well.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, like, Javon Evans came out and tried to fight Joe Coffey. Yeah, so there was a whole bunch of like nonsense before the finish there. But at least the Rascals, I assumed that we'd get Wes costing them this.
I could see him costing the, because he wasn't on the show tonight.
Yeah.
I could see him costing them next week. And then we could, we could get a Trey Wes match as well down the line as well. I would like to see more of Trey, because I think he's
pretty good.
And obviously Zach is kind of the feature here in his feud. But I like them as a team, and I do want to see more. I'm kind of like, it's a shame the match is next week in a way, because I feel you could build to this a bit more.
Well, we go backstage and we are seeing our tag team champions, Fraxium, the recently new champs, I guess. Mm-hmm. The old champs are now the new champs. And they're asked about what happened with Chase U and everything. And they're kind of like, yeah, that wasn't great, but we're not focused on that right now. We're focused on the future challengers, including the Rascals for next week. And don't worry, Rascals, we're going to show you exactly what we can do. And like, the Rascals then show up and they're saying, like, did you see what we just did? Because you haven't faced this version of the Rascals. And next week, the Rascals will be the next champs. So I'm looking forward to that match. I think it'll be good.
We'll run through the card later, but next week looks pretty stacked, actually.
WWE week.
It's WWE week.
We see Lexus King make his entrance as we go to commercial break. When we come back, Trick Williams was in the back here when all of a sudden him and Pete Dunne start fighting again?
Yeah.
They're just fighting around the world today.
The chicken and Peter Griffin.
Yeah. Trick, who was it? It was Ethan Page and Ora Mensah who just kept fighting everywhere. Now it's Trick and Pete who are just fighting.
This.
Yeah. There's a big pull apart in the locker room and Ava's like, oh, these guys. But we go to a recap of Lexus King and Ora Mensah, where last week, Ora Mensah just absolutely eviscerated this guy.
Yeah.
Like, basically, Lexus King was the one mentioning dads and daddy issues, and Ora was like, yeah, you're the one to fucking talk.
He goes, you got a dad bod and your dad's dead, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's the baby face.
So that's what sets up this match here. Early on, we get a rolling capo kick from Ora, always one of my favorite moves from him. But then Lexus tries to, like, escape and run around here, but then eventually it's Ora who throws him into the barricade, or is it the other way around there? I think Lexus starts to throw him. They start brawling around the ring here when Booker T on commentary starts going off about how big of a star Lexus King is. He's the biggest TV star ever. And Vic is like, is he on other shows? And Book's like, well, he's on this show, so he is a TV star. I mean, Book, what you're saying is not wrong. But also what you're saying,
Lexus King, the biggest television star.
TV star, Lexus King.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. There's a, what is this move that King does? The clothesline thing?
Well, where behind? He runs up behind him,
and just hits you? I don't even know what he hits you.
It's kind of like a drive-by sort of
move. It's terrible. It's bad. So bad. Yeah. I literally wrote the shit thing Lexus King does, which I don't think narrows that down. But Lexus then starts to mention, what is he? He mentions his mom. He says something to him about his mom.
I thought I heard him say, your father will burn to ashes.
Jesus.
And I
don't think that's what he said.
Like, that's what it sounded like to me. And I'm like, what is going on here?
I'm pretty sure he said something like something. He mentions your mom, your mother. And this is where Ora just gets like so mad. Like, what did you just say to me? And as he gets too like frazzled here, it's Lexus who rolls him up and gets the feet on the ropes. And the ref counts it, so therefore he pins Ora.
Even the foot on the ropes looked shit, yeah. I don't understand the dirty pin with the feet on the ropes. Like, how, like, you're just, what, you're trapped?
Yeah, it's too much weight.
It's too much? I don't believe that. I thought the end was pretty lazy. I really like Ora. I think he's really stepped up in the last 6 months or whatever it's been. I like his intensity. I like him kind of just... It's sort of the same energy he took from the Ethan Page thing with the attacks and just going after Lexus and just being relentless with it. Lexus, just, I don't see any improvement.
Yeah, there's been no improvement. It's crazy because, like, people gave him shit in AEW because it was like he didn't really wrestle in AEW. He was on TV, but he didn't wrestle. No. And then it's like, okay, now you're signed to WWE, NXT. Like, what can you do? Let's see the best version of yourself. And it's not been anything different. No. It's just facial hair and barbers. And so, like, yeah, he's someone it's easy to hate, but also, like, there's nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I'm wondering, what is this the ceiling for Lexus King?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah. I don't see him getting necessarily anywhere further.
Just haven't got any better. And the feuds are just rinse and repeat.
Yeah. It's like he goes from hating DJs to, I don't know, hating people's moms, I guess.
Yeah.
But damn. I wonder if this feud continues. I think it might. We go backstage. The family, Tony D'Angelo and the family, and they're greeted by Oba Femi, who's like, yeah, you know, you put up a good fight, and it was a good match, but you just didn't beat me. And this is where Rizzo starts going off and yelling at Oba. And oh my God, in a highlight of the show for me here is Oba Femi just saying some ruthless shit here. If you're going to watch anything from NXT, make it this clip here where Rizzo's spouting off at Oba, just yelling at him. And Oba says, you know, in some cultures, women are to be seen, not heard. And then Rizzo tries to fight him and they all hold her back. And they say that Oba's got a match tonight with Stax.
Tony says, and in my culture, you speak like that to a woman, you get the taste slapped from your mouth.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oba Femi just being a dickhead here, basically saying, yeah, women shouldn't speak. It wasn't on my bingo card.
You know how some cultures, there's the Dutch character in Ted Lasso who just says things how they are and doesn't really think about that's the vibe I get with Oba Femi a lot of the time.
I think he can say anything he wants.
Yeah.
Just because he's Oba Femi. Yeah, exactly. That was pretty funny. We go to the No Quarter Catch crew backstage, and we see Ren kind of mentioning that Tavion Heights is coming back from his trips from Japan. I've been following his Instagram, and he posted the other day that he's done.
Okay.
The N1, he's coming back. But he also shouted out Will Ospreay for giving him, like, tips on traveling there and, you know, everything, living there.
Yeah, I saw him, like, completely, like, losing his mind walking around Korakuen Hall.
Right, yeah.
Just, like, all the pictures.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I saw him, like, going out to eat and everything like that. And I was like, oh, that's so much fun. They are talking about that, but they're kind of interrupted because Gallus are here and they're very upset that they lost this match early. And they're like, hey, Gallus, can you shut the fuck up? Stop being so loud and angry. Like, we're ready. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, it was Javon Evans who, you know, costed us this thing. And these fucking TikTokers and all these kids, like all these kids. And basically, Ren is like, hey, Charlie says you should keep it down. And they're like, who the fuck is this Ren? Basically, and Charlie's like, oh, no way, I didn't say that. Why are you doing that?
She says that the noise is harsh on Miles's ears.
Right, yeah. So I guess Gallus are just beefing with everyone.
Yeah.
Because they're the mean guys. We go to our next match. We see Tatum Paxley and Rosemary. We get a recap of Tatum, attacking Wendy Chu at No Mercy?
Yeah, because Wendy had taken her out. So Tatum, like, took her out at No Mercy.
Yeah, and then there was a doll.
There was a doll.
And then now there's Rosemary.
Yeah.
With the undead.
The undead realm.
Realm.
And I'm pretty sure at one point Vic says, like, all these women from their different realms.
Bless you, Vic. But yeah. The realms. What's a realm?
A realm, you know.
It's a realm, like a world.
Yeah, kind of world, isn't it?
Anyways.
What's the definition of realm?
I feel like
a kingdom.
Oh.
Yeah, field of domain.
So the undead realm.
Yeah.
Nice. There's this is Tatum Paxley versus Rosemary. Mm-hmm. So Rosemary from TNA, we saw her last week and here she is again. And we see these running strikes from Paxley into the corner where she's running at Rosemary and hitting her. Rosemary comes back though, hits a follow-away slam for a near fall, but eventually it's like an SOS type move. Kind of similar to that move Liv Morgan's been doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Like a pump handle driver sort of page
flippy
turner
thing. Yeah, kind of the SOS kind of thing. And Rosemary loses in pretty quick fashion here. But
I think Tatum's really stepped up in ring. I think she's been looking really good, and she's one of the more solid women in the whole division. I don't like the character. I don't think it overly suits her too well. But I would like to see her try and progress more, like the character just to click or whatever.
Yeah.
I worry that this could be her ceiling, but I actually think she's pretty good and looks good in there with Rosemary.
Well, after the match, Wendy Chu attacks Paxley, and then they start to beat down on her when Lyra Valkyria, the bird lady, she returns and she saves Tatum here. And then Tatum is acting shocked because if you remember the storyline when Lyra was champion, Tatum was the weird, creepy friend.
Yeah.
So Lyra's come back randomly to.
But then the story ended with Tatum attacking her and them having a match. And
right.
And then she kept attacking Lyra.
Yeah.
But now they're just friends.
She's like, nah, I have nothing else to do right now.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of sucks for Lyra. I haven't necessarily seen what she's been doing on the main roster, but I guess it's not necessarily been that much.
She's just been hanging out with Casey and Katana and Kaden, and it's just a weird...
Okay.
I get it with her promo later. I don't feel it suits her just being this bubbly, cheery girl. Like, seeing her come out with the Ravers is just, it feels awkward.
Yeah. She should be more serious.
And I got the same sense with this episode with her backstage segment as well.
Yeah. Like, I think she's talented. I just, like, maybe the role there is not the best. We go backstage and we see Pete Dunne, and he's talking about how Pete is talking about how Trick is basically like, oh, he thinks he's a rapper now. Well, this isn't a music video. This is real life. It's real motherfucking life. And he says that he's going to fight Trick till the end. And well, that's exactly what happens because Trick attacks him here and they start fighting again. And this is when Ava is in the middle of the fight here. And she goes, that's it. Get to the ring. Start the match. So they go wrestle.
Don really trying to get the figure it out.
Figure it out.
He says it like five times in this promo.
Figure it out.
And I almost want him to drop a diss track against
be sick
against Don against Trick.
So Trick
will figure it out.
Trick's was like a 90s hip hop beat. We need Pete to come out with like a UK drill rap.
Okay,
like rapping all about
or
the streets of London.
No, I see him doing more like kind of Park Life.
Park Life.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You know the song Park Life.
I don't follow
you. Oh, the people, so many people.
What?
You don't know this song?
What are you talking about?
Come on.
I thought it's not a rap song.
No, but it's like the chorus, the verse is all like spoken.
Okay.
I'm getting the lyrics up now.
Yeah, that'll help. That'll help.
You don't know this song?
I feel like if I heard it, maybe.
It's like confidence is a preference for the habitual voyeur of what is known as Park Life. A morning suit could be avoided if you take a route straight through what is known as Park Life. Huh. But like done talking things and then figure it out. You know.
Figure it out. Yeah. I'd like to see a rebuttal from Pete.
Yeah. But
I also just like to see Trick do this. Like, it's similar to the Joe Hendry stuff, except this music video was not aired on this show. It's just like barely referenced.
Online,
which like you could have played it on the show. It was quality.
It should have been. Yeah, I think
they should have played it. In fact, I think they maybe even should have played it at No Mercy.
I think so. Yeah,
because he only put it out the day after that, which was like, oh, you should have.
Well, I watched everything after the fact, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I saw the video before I watched No Mercy and assumed it was on the show.
Right,
and
right.
Kind of went through and was like, oh,
yeah,
weird.
Yeah,
because they just replayed what they played on Tuesday, I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
Either way, Pete Dunne, you have 24 hours to respond to Trick's diss. It's like it's gonna be like Kendrick and Drake.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, Pete dropped. He dropped his diss. We'll see what happens. He'll get he'll get Trent Seven in the video.
Sure.
He'll get the GYV lads.
Yeah.
Did you see Pete's tweet? It was like, hey, anyone? I seen that music video. Anyone in that? Any NXT trainees? I see you. Don't think I didn't see you in this video. It's on site when I see you. I'll fucking kill you.
Nice.
I like Pete when he's mean and serious. He's hilarious. We see, so they go start fighting, and like I said, Ava was like, hey, when we come back from break, they're gonna be wrestling in the ring. We get a video from TNA Knockouts champion Jordan Grace, who says that next week on WWE week, the TNA Knockouts title will be defended.
Yeah, it's an open challenge.
Yes.
Who do you see being a good potential opponent?
I don't know. Who do you think?
I mean, it's someone who will lose.
Yes.
Who's like maybe Lola Vice? something like that.
Is it gonna be like Babyface? So Lola, yeah, okay.
I mean, you could do Baby or
yeah,
or like I don't know, Izzy Dane. She's been on TV a lot recently,
right? Okay,
maybe her.
Right, yeah, I feel like maybe a heels for Jordan.
Jasmine Nix.
Okay,
maybe.
I mean, yeah, it's possible. But yeah, pretty cool that they're doing this. The first time a TNA title is defended on WWE.
Is that so? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
JBL, just figure it out. And
what's JBL been up to?
He says he's doing Triple H's bidding. So I'm pretty sure TNA is going to be owned by WWE.
He's like Nick Fury, isn't he?
He's just showing up. He is. Like, yeah. I know I've been saying that, like, TNA should be bought by WWE at this point. I think it will happen, but at this point, it's the developmental to the developmental of WWE.
It's weird, isn't it? Because it looks like the this Maple Leaf promotion is having attachment with AEW. You know, they've announced a bunch of AEW people on that show. And and TNA seems to be the, you know, you've got WWE now with AAA, TNA, kind of GCW a little bit, Noah.
Right.
And then AEW's got their, like Marigold as well.
Right, I guess, right,
WWE.
Yeah.
And then AEW's got the others.
Yeah, that is true. Like, it's the Maple Leaf thing is definitely interesting. It's in Windsor. I'm kind of tempted to go to those shows.
It's in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Josh Alexander versus Takeshita is night one.
And that sounds really good.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of stars announced for that show. Nice. Like, pretty cool. We go to Pete Dunne versus Trick Williams here. These two are just fighting around the world. They're fighting each other. There's a series of chops back and forth. Trick hits his pop-up neck breaker for a near fall. Eventually, Pete starts to work the arm. He hits a jumping arm breaker and just keeps wrenching on it, almost like he's trying to break his fingers. There's more chops here, and then there's a pop-up right hand from Trick as he tries to come back. But then he sends Pete to the outside, and he tries to go for something. But Pete Dunne, doing his best Fit Finley here, pulls the ring skirt and gets Trick caught in it and then stomps on Trick's face at one point
On the stairs.
Yeah, pretty nasty. When we come back from a commercial, there's a flapjack from Trick and then a bookend, but Pete kicks out. Pete hits a German suplex for a near fall and then some sort of powerbomb out of the corner, which was pretty cool. Trick then starts to come back and hits a series of stomps of his own. And then they're fighting on the apron here, and Trick tries to go for a bookend off the apron, and Pete gets out of this. So then they're fighting on the
barricade,
but behind the commentary desk here, when Pete hits him with a side Russian leg sweep off this barricade through the commentary desk as Book and Vic run out of the way, and we get a double 10 count, a double count out here, meaning the match is a no contest.
It's a draw.
And these two continue to fight, and it's a big pull apart. So I think the match itself had some fun stuff in it. And I think, you know, Pete Dunne, we've seen for years here in this company, just being an absolute workhorse when it comes to actual wrestling. And I think Trick working with someone like Pete is such a good idea.
Yeah, I have no problem with this feud continuing, because we've seen Trick's best work was against Ilya. I think Dunne is in a similar mold and can definitely get the best out of Trick. So I enjoyed this kind of show long story with them just brawling and, you know, the match being thrown out and all that. We get announced the stipulation for next week being a last man standing match, which I think should be pretty good. Also enjoyed kind of the stealing of each other's moves, you know, Trick doing the stomping on the hands like Dunne does as well. I'm looking forward to the rematch.
Yes. Yeah, so it will be announced, but they'll have a rematch next week. And I kind of like the fighting throughout the whole show and then the match itself getting thrown out. What did you think of the side Russian leg sweep?
Oh, beautiful.
Very, very
devastating.
Nice. Yeah. What if we were like, man, the side Russian leg sweep should have been the name for our show instead of Poison Rana.
Side Russian leg sweep.
But I guess side Russian leg sweep isn't necessarily the most popular thing going right now. So I think we did all right. We see a video. Oh boy, this was sad. Chase U. We see Ridge Holland, that mean guy. He goes, people are asking me why. Why did I destroy Chase U? Well, we were champions and I got them to that level. I brought Chase U to new prominence. I got them new looks. I even got them a new classroom. But they're all losers. And that Duke Hudson is a smug asshole. And I finally became champ here in WWE. But it was due to mediocrity. And I'm done with that. And I'm done with Chase U. And if I have to continue to destroy them, I will. And Thea, I'm going to love every second of it.
Ooh.
As we see a video of
creepy
him in the classroom stomping on the MVP trophy of Duke Hudson. Oh, man.
Breaking Duke's heart there. I like this. I think this is this Chase U thing has really helped him become a good heel. It wasn't working, you know, the what was he, Lenny from Of Mice and Men before, like, oh, I just keep accidentally hurting people, right. This big giant.
And now he really
I thought he sounded sinister. Obviously, this is a kind of produced video. It's not an in-ring promo or whatever, but I thought he sounded sinister. He sounded mean. I always find it funny with Chase U because there's so much story with them at this point. Whenever it's like these explanation videos and you're saying, I saw the way Duke and Riley didn't take me on board. And it's just like months and months of Duke and Riley just looking at each other like, this fucking guy, I don't know about it. It's the exposition.
Yeah, the exposition of Chase U is Chase crazy. U. Yeah, Okada, you fucked up. You could have been in Chase U and you could have been like doing this. This story is like, it's got me. Yeah. I agree. Like, I don't know.
How many times have we said that about this fucking university, though? Stupidest so many times they've got us.
Okay, hear me out. Hear me out. Ridge, Andrew Thompson, who was with me on Sunday, said he's kind of worried that, like, past this storyline, what does this do for Ridge? Because eventually, like, this storyline won't necessarily go on forever and he's got to move back up or something. And it's like, it's true. But as of right now, at least it's something for these people to do. But it got me thinking that, you know, Chase U's playing the long game since like the beginning of 2.0, since they started, and then Duke joining and like that being the big story. Then we had Riley, then now we have Ridge, and then Ridge turning. There's a possibility that him calling out Thea, she still could turn. She could leave and join Ridge.
I
she was the
if
one.
There's going to be another turn.
Because I don't want to make it sound like he was creepy with her, but he was basically like, hey, Thea, you're the one who brought me into this group, because she was like, no, he's a nice guy. And Thea, you just reminded me of my daughter so much. And then, like, I think there could be something there because she was so heartbroken on No Mercy, but I'm not quite sure. But hear me out, because Mania weekend in Vegas, you're going to do a takeover or a NXT PLE, stand and deliver, right?
Right.
So you definitely have to have, like, Chase U win, like, the tag titles in Vegas. Something to do with gambling, something to do with the poker player, something to do with, like there needs to be something there. But they've announced next week is Duke Hudson versus Ridge.
Cool. I think that could be that could be pretty fun.
Like that's a big match for this storyline, I think.
I think, unfortunately for Duke, I think he's gonna get murdered.
Yeah that kind of sucks for
but Duke. I do wonder if we have someone join Ridge, whether it's Theo, whether it's Riley. I kind of would want to keep Duke with Chase.
Yeah,
I think that long-term relationship can't be broken.
I can't believe they got me with Chase
every
U.
time.
I like Chase U more than I like anything on main roster right now.
Yeah,
and that's the shoot, brother. Like this is so stupid, but I love it so much. And Ridge, you asshole. He's got heat with me because he did this to my boy, Andre Chase.
Were you I wasn't there, but were you heartbroken?
I was pretty pissed.
Yeah.
I was pretty mad that this guy did this. It would be a bigger deal if Duke were to like turn on Chase. But at this point, we're not getting it.
I don't need it.
Yeah, we're not getting that now because like Duke is in Chase's corner, who they say is still in the hospital since Sunday. Hope he's okay. Wow.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, it's your chance to travel back to November 2004 as Wei Ting and I review WWE Raw, featuring Trish Stratus and Lita headlining the show. Bruce Lord and Karen Peterson are going to be covering New Japan's Destruction in Kobe event, and MCU later tackles Agatha All Along. All of that, plus Rewind to SmackDown and Collision Course weekly, and ad-free versions of Rewind to Raw and Dynamite. $6 a month unlocks it all at postwrestlingcafe.com.
We go to Brooks Jensen walking backstage when we see Sean Spears with his arm in a sling. And he goes, "Hey, you know what? I just need to talk to you for a second, Brooks," says Spears. And he goes, "I know a lot of people may not have said these words to you, but I just want to thank you. I thank you. You know, I thought I was saving you, but really you saved me. So thank you." He's referring to the beef with Idris and Malik and everything. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "I won't be like everyone else. I won't leave you." And Brooks is like, "Hey, is there a reason everyone thinks like you're fucking weird? Is there a reason why everyone's like, hey, you're in this weird cult thing? Like, what's the deal with this?" And he's like, no. Like, that's nothing. Don't listen to those people. And like, don't worry about it.
There's a line he says, which he goes, "Why does everyone think it's you manipulating me?" to Sean, where I wonder if Brooks is like implying by that, like, no, it's my plan. I'm the one in control the whole time. So
yeah.
Whether we see a bit of a power shift between those two, I'm not sure.
So he's kind of, as Spears walks off, I think we see Dion Lennox.
Yeah.
The guy who's been the bookworm for the past few weeks. He's like, "Hey, you know what that's called? Psychological manipulation." So this guy's a legit bookworm, smarty guy, and Brooks kind of gives him a look. So I'm assuming we get a match between these two next week, I think, or something.
Or he attacks him next week. Yeah.
Brooks is just murdering people backstage just because of Sean Spears. But interesting as this develops. We go to our next match. It is Joe Coffey versus Javon Evans here. We saw Javon come out earlier in the night, and they've kind of been beefing because these boomers don't like these Gen Z TikTokers. Evans is extremely fast here with very innovative offense. There's a crazy tope to all of Gallus where Vic Joseph just went, "Holy shit," and just like catches himself from swearing, but pretty crazy. In the ring, Joe attacks Evans and hits a rolling senton, very Sheamus-esque here, and then a Vader bomb for a near fall. And then referring to the spot where like Gallus all took the tope from Javon. So basically like they caught Javon in this tope. Booker says like, no, like I wouldn't have caught him. And Vic goes, "Yeah, I bet a lot of guys you've wrestled with could co-sign that," which I got. And moving on, as I thought that was hilarious from Vic without missing a beat there, as Booker just laughs it off. This is where Gallus is like still trying to get involved when Cedric Alexander shows up. And he kind of gets in their face. And then Evans hits another dive onto all of them. And then back in the ring, drops Joe and hits a corkscrew splash for the 1-2-3. A pretty quick victory here. But pinning Joe Coffey.
Yeah, Javon's so impressive. I do feel he's lost a little bit of steam since the Heatwave match. I don't feel like this Gallus feud is necessarily doing a whole lot for him. I guess we're getting the... Did they announce the tag for next week? With Javon and Cedric?
Yeah, sorry. Or yeah, possibly. We're just assuming that. Yeah.
I wonder, like, I feel Gallus's days have to be, like, they have to be coming to an end in NXT. They feel they're just treading water. They're just, mad at the next kid who's there, and they fight for weeks. And
they're just there to get other people over.
Big payoff. I wonder if we end up seeing them like join with Drew.
Okay.
You know, if they're,
I don't know,
interfering with a Hell in a Cell or something. I just feel, you know, like the training with The Rock and that kind of thing. I feel like they might, you know, "Oh, you did that. We're going to give you your break and main roster thing." And I kind of feel that could be a slot to...
You're saying we could get CM Punk versus Joe Coffey?
Exactly. Yeah.
CM Punk versus Wolfgang.
Yeah. All those dream matches. I'm sick of them in NXT at this point.
Yeah,
and I'm a little bit shit or get off the pot now with them, like, because I don't want to see them just
I get it's good to have vets down there to help these kids.
But I think that's the reason.
The story's just, I feel like it's, they're now just, you're inserting Javon and it's the same feud. And
they're just angry. Yeah. They're angry at everyone and that's their gimmick. And it's like, okay, well, like, I don't necessarily hate them, but I think main roster, maybe they could be good. They don't necessarily, other than Drew, Scottish, you know, we saw Joe Henry.
But you don't have to pair it with them. I'm just wondering if it's a way, like, you know, Drew can win this feud.
Right.
Hell in a Cell and all that.
I don't know. I don't know if that's, if it's like, I don't necessarily think they shouldn't be called up and given a chance. Mm. I think they should, but I don't know if that's necessarily the way I'd bring them back up. Just Gallus drinking pints in their bar. Mm. We've had good times with them. They've been here for a while.
Big Daddies.
Is
they've been include NXT UK. They've just been in development for like 5-6 years now.
Yeah. But like, so a lot of the NXT UK people are still here.
Yeah.
So it is.
I don't know about that.
Like, Pete Dunne still wrestling on
the show? Yeah, but he's main roster still. Yeah. Like, same with Tyler Bate. He made it to the main roster finally.
Tyler Bate, Axiom.
I guess Axiom. Axiom and Fraser are the other two. Stevie Turner.
Yeah. Lyra Valkyria, who's on this episode. Yeah. There's still a lot of those NXT UK people that are just floating around. Did we talk about how he beat Joe Gallus?
He beat Joe Gallus. He beat Joe Gallus with his move. He does a nice little flippy thing.
Yeah, I love Javon Evans, man. I think they've got something special with this kid for sure. And like being 20 years old, and I'm already like, I think he's better than half the WWE roster. So like, fuck, I can't wait to see where he goes. We see backstage, speaking of the Bird Lady. No, I'm not talking about the Bird Lady from Home Alone 2. I'm talking about the NXT Bird Lady, Lyra Valkyria, with Tatum Paxley. And she says, oh, I couldn't keep my eyes off you, Tatum. I've been watching NXT, keeping tabs on you. And I couldn't see you get beat up, so I thought I'd save you.
Just like, yeah, it's cool that you viciously attacked me repeatedly and tried to steal my title. I just couldn't stand to watch you get beaten up. So I came all the way back down to NXT.
So let's show these girls, she says, next week in a tag match.
Sure. I mentioned earlier, I don't like this bubbly Lyra. She's a great wrestler, but there's never been like a character or a personality that's really stuck with me. So I guess they're just trying to draw it out of her with Tatum. She mentioned as well, like, oh, when I said you should go and make friends, I didn't mean literally make friends, as you see the locker just stuffed full of dolls.
Dolls, right.
But yeah, I hope this is a way of just changing Tatum a little bit. She's can be a little kooky. She doesn't need to be spooky. Oh, that rhymed.
Nice. I also like changing Tatum. That sounds like some 90s movie.
Changing Tatum.
Not Chasing Amy.
Yeah,
it's changing it's Tatum.
Changing Tatum. From spooky to kooky. Changing Tatum.
Yeah. We're still hungover, guys.
Starring, yeah.
We're still Reese really hungover, guys. We're really trying.
Times, I feel like I'm in a different place during this review.
Sometimes I just feel like a different person. We go to Ava backstage.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, you know what? I'm tired of Pete and Trick fighting all over the place. Next week, last man standing match. Trick Williams, Pete Dunne, and the winner will face Ethan Page at Chicago on the CW network.
Let's go.
There you go. So next week, last man standing match. We assume Trick?
I assume Trick. Yeah, I think Trick versus Ethan.
Trick should just win it in Chicago.
I think he gets the title back.
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
Like, it would make some moves with a title change, big show. But yeah, I think we have a few nice weeks here with the main story, Trick trying to get past Pete to get back to Ethan. He's going to have that match next week. I think it could be really good. Last man standing is not necessarily my favorite stipulation, but
it's a way the main roster guy doesn't take the pin, you know?
Yeah. Is this Malachi Black's favorite match?
Yeah.
No, I don't have to get pinned in this match? Yeah. A ladder match? Yeah. I like this, and I think Trick will win and then beat Ethan Page, definitely. Yeah. We see our next match. Oba Femi, the North American champion, taking on not Tony, but Stax from The Family. We saw...
I don't think I told you. When I was in Cleveland, the bartender I had reminded me of Stax.
Oh.
He was like Stax with a tash, but he had the haircut.
Stash.
And he had the kind of shirts that Stax wears. Stax
kind
wears.
Of shirt?
He wears like the sleeves like just over the elbow and they're like button-ups.
Okay.
And shiny.
Oh, shiny, well. Shiny.
He dresses well.
Yeah, yeah, he does. Yeah, yeah. I like Stax.
Yeah, shout out that guy.
Stax?
Yeah, I'm a bartender.
Your bartender Stash. So Oba is just throwing Stax around here as Booker T is declaring this guy is no bread, no water, just
meat.
We see it keeps cutting to Tony. They're doing a lot of the emotional shots in this match where Tony's just looking pissed that A, he lost on Sunday. B, Rizzo got clowned earlier by Oba.
Yeah.
And C, Stax is getting fucked up. So Tony's just like, oh, man, this isn't working out. Us dealing with this guy. Eventually, there's a clothesline to the back of the head here from Oba. He slams Stax like into the ropes here with a body slam. Stax tries to come back. There's a series of drop kicks here. But then Stax is up top and jumps. But Oba gets out of the way and then lifts him in the air and hits the pop-up powerbomb for the 1-2-3.
I quite enjoyed this as far as squashes go. I think Stax, and we've seen it in whenever he's in the tag matches, I think he's really good at fighting from underneath, but also is just great at bumping around for guys.
Yeah.
He always makes who he's against look good, I think. And some like Obafemi, you want to, you know, try and get as high as you can with those toss power bombs. And that there was a running uppercut in the corner from Oba, which just looked nuts. But I think Stax is very underrated and, yeah, a great, like, utility guy to make these people look good.
We've always liked Stax, especially, like, he's put the time in. Like, he's working. He's getting better every time we watch him. Obviously, here, he's the guy to get thrown around and whatever. But I see he has, like, legs in
WWE.
He's
young, too.
Yeah, so he's young.
There's a lot of opportunity to grow and get bigger and better.
Like, whether or not Tony gets called up to the main roster with or without the family is tough, because then, like, what the hell do you do? Which I don't think would be the worst thing for these acts.
Going up as the family?
If Tony just goes up without them.
I agree.
Because Stax, you could change your name, but you could also just keep Stax. It doesn't necessarily scream you're an Italian mobster. It's just Stax. Rizzo and Luca, like, you could all have different gimmicks. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think as well, we've seen in the past, you know, when Imperium got called up, but without Vinci, and Vinci stayed in NXT for a little bit and then joined. Legado moved out without Elektra, and Elektra stayed around and then eventually joined them. I think it's something you could do. I think the family could work as a unit on the main roster.
Yeah,
but I would do it similar to how we've seen it in NXT, where you just start with Tony and then you could bring them in a little later. Especially, I do think both Stax and Rizzo could do with staying in NXT for a little longer.
Yeah, I think that wouldn't be the worst case. I do like the family as a unit too. And I said on our No Mercy review that, like, whether you kind of like it or not, I think the stereotypical Italian mobster on main roster would get over if done properly. Like, it would probably be really popular.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Like, I think so.
Like, we watch this guy and our first reaction is stereotype Italian mobster grown. And then fast forward 2 years, we're like, yeah, he's great.
I mean, you want to, I think we're going to see from Triple H in the, was it the France presser, where he was saying, we've got our eyes on Italy. He basically confirmed
there you
that.
Go.
So I would think if you are doing a PLE in Italy next year, you want to think about getting Tony on the main roster like now.
And Vinci, right? Sure. Is he Italian?
Yeah, he's having vignettes, yeah.
I smiled when I saw that they're doing the same, like, Vinci.
Vinny, Vidi, Vinci.
Vinny, Vinci.
Yeah.
Johnny Sins.
Yes.
Yeah. Oba, what's the deal? Are we getting a Tony-Oba rematch?
I feel like, it feels like this feud is continuing.
Yeah.
Do we get Tony turning on the family? Because he's fed up with them. Because
I mean, he lost. I mean, he lost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's definitely a tough one to split or not.
Because I think Tony v Stax at some point could be really good for Stax.
Yeah, well. Yeah, yeah. Oba definitely not losing the title to Tony. I like their match on Sunday, but, like,
yeah, I thought it was one of the better ones. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, what's Oba's match for Chicago CW? Like, we got a big dude for him. He shouldn't lose the title anytime soon. In fact, he should just never lose the title.
I think you're just getting the rematch. Like, Chicago's pretty...
Tony versus Oba at Chicago.
Yeah.
That could be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually. Like, there's a lot of Italians in Chicago.
Sure.
Deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
Book it.
Italian beef.
Italian beef. Is that the bear?
The sandwiches. Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. We go to Carmen Petrovic and Brinley Reese backstage. They're talking and mentioning about, is it Idris with the injury? And
a shoulder injury.
Yeah, the shoulder injury from this attack from Brooks Jensen. When Ashanti, the Adonis, Tahuti and the Blowfish shows up and he goes, hey, oh, it's so, I'm so sorry to hear about Idris there. He's got what, a rose in his hand?
Yeah.
And Ashanti says, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about Idris and his shoulder. But girl, if you need a shoulder to cry on, let Ashanti be that shoulder. And they're like, And Eddie Thorpe interrupts. So the girls walk off and Ashanti calls Eddie. Oh, look, it's DJ Platonic.
great name.
Referring to our conversation last week where he says, you're a DJ, like you should have girls. And he's like, no, these are my friends. He's like, oh, platonic friends, huh? And then he tells Eddie that he's got no game. And don't ever interrupt me while I'm working, trying to work here, which I imagine sets up a match for next week.
Yeah. I think that Brooks is going to be bringing in Idris and Malik to be with him. And I think the line earlier of like, what makes you think it's him manipulating me?
Yeah.
It's maybe Brooks is bringing in his boys and taking over.
Because they met, Brinley making it kind of clear that she's not necessarily with them anymore.
And then I thought Eddie was a bit of a dick here.
Yeah,
cock blocking. The women. I think these are two strong women who can stand up for themselves and can tell Ashanti to fuck off if they wanted him to.
Yeah,
and he's like, whoa, ladies, wait, I'll tell him fuck off. But yeah, I'm enjoying Ashanti. I think he's pretty funny.
He's so funny. And the DJ Platonic line.
That was a great line.
Definitely had me laughing. So I guess we're getting this next week. But Ashanti, once again, the smartest man in WWE. Mm. He's just avoiding being released by going to NXT to Mac on Girls.
Yeah, it's great.
Best gimmick going. We see Ren Sinclair and Javon Evans backstage. And Javon's like, I'm on a run. And Ren keeps asking him, like, oh, what are you going to do this? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to, I beat Joe Gallus tonight. And she's like, yeah, like, what are your plans next? And he's kind of like mentioning, he's on a bit of a winning streak and he wants to see where he's going to go next. And he goes, you're asking a lot of questions. And then she kind of references that the cup with no quarter catch crew and that, hey, like, maybe like Charlie could give you a match. And he's like, really? Like, you think? She's like, yeah, for sure. And then he kind of agrees to the match when Dempsey kind of turns the corner, like, what just happened? And she's like, yeah, you have a match for the cup against Javon next week. And he's like, wait, why did you do this? And then he yells at Miles, did you hear this? What happened? And Miles has got his earphones in. And he's like, sorry, what happened? And yeah.
So he's like, why did you let her do this? He's like, I didn't know anything happened.
So Dempsey versus Javon in a rules match.
I do find it funny. I work with some people who take things very literally. You know, when you tell them to do something, it's like, okay, I'll do it. So I found it quite funny with Ren, like, oh, you just told me to scout them out before booking a match. So I did, and there's the match. So
yeah.
These three are weirdly still working for me, the comedy odd couple kind of thing they're doing. But we've got Javon versus Charlie. That could be pretty good.
I think so.
That could be pretty good.
Yeah, two young talents here in NXT. We go to our next match. Jada Parker, hot off her big match on No Mercy. She didn't win, but she impressed and showed that she belongs here. Here she's taking on Jasmine Nix from the Fatal Attraction. Fatal Influence. There we go. Here. Jada's got her ribs taped up from the match on Sunday, and this is where Fallon and JC are all like, pretending, my ribs. Nick starts to get some of her soccer kicks in here early on, trying to kick away at Jada and the ribs. Parker, though, does hit a Samoan drop for a near fall, sets Nyx up in the corner and hits the teardrop, and then hits the high step like Roxy did on Sunday. Eventually, Nyx goes for another kick, and then there's the hypnotic from Jade. I still think this is the worst fucking move.
Yeah.
I actually think Jade is definitely impressed and getting better and better, but oh my God, this move didn't even connect.
It didn't even hit shoulder, was it?
It looked embarrassing that was what was the finish of the match. Yeah. But Jada wins, and then right away the Fatal Influence attack her, and then she starts to fight them off, but JC nails her with a rolling elbow as they then taunt her.
I think Jada did impress on Sunday. There are still holes. Definitely that move just does not look good. Jasmine's improving as well. I like that they kind of play on the soccer with her, with a lot of her kicks, which do look pretty good. And the finish where Fallon and JC throw Jada into the Pele kick, I think looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
I think Fallon as well, just she's transitioned to a heel like so well, because I thought she was such a natural, likable baby face. I wasn't sure if this would work, but she really owns it. And this does feel like a new Toxic Attraction, but I think the parts are probably all stronger in ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think JC's improved since those days.
JC's like a solid vet.
Yeah.
Like now at this point. And I like it, kind of the sort of evolution almost role with the two mentors and the student.
Yeah. Yeah. Nyx could get somewhere with this working. I definitely already like this a lot more than Toxic Attraction. Just Toxic Attraction was like, hey, we're hot girls, but we can't wrestle.
Yeah.
And it was just like not great. I don't look even back fondly on that. No. Like it had nothing for me.
On way too
yeah,
long.
It was just like
never really had a decent enough payoff.
Yeah. Yeah. Really. Mandy just leaving. Right. Yeah. But Fallon, I think is they got something with a big star with definitely. Her, I think down the line. We see a tweet from, I think I skipped over something. We see all these women backstage, NXT. Ashanti was in the wrong area, clearly, because here's all the women backstage watching TV.
It's funny, isn't it? You have some weeks people run out for the save. We saw Lyra run out for the save. But here it's just Kalani Jordan and Lola Vice with their arms crossed going, like, huh. That wasn't really nice what they did. We can't let stuff like that happen.
So they are talking about like what just happened, and basically they said like, oh, those women think they can run NXT. Like, who do they think they are? When Fatal Influence kind of walk by, and Kalani says, NXT has the best women's roster and you're not the reason why. You're doing all this petty stuff and you're making us look bad when everyone knows we're the best women's roster. But you doing stuff like what you just did drops us down and kind of taking our shots there. So, again, I imagine we get Fallon versus Kalani pretty soon.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against Fallon taking that title as well.
Yeah. JC says to Kalani that her days are numbered as champ. So, yeah, we're definitely going towards that. We see a Duke Hudson tweet. This was very heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Still processing everything. Andre Chase is still in the hospital, but next week is revenge. So Duke Hudson versus Ridge Holland next week.
I'd like to see a revamped look for Andre Chase when he comes back, a bit more of an edge, like be a baby face, but maybe, you know, he's comes out of the hospital, he's shaved his head. He's like a little like meaner because someone he trusted who he took in screwed them over.
We need Chase showing up in a hospital gown.
Yeah.
Straight from the hospital.
Like Michael Myers-esque.
Just showing up like,
And maybe lose the sweater.
Okay, I was about to ask you, like, if you're saying he changes his look up, like, what other sweaters can he... Because No Mercy, he wore a black sweater.
Yeah.
Because the new Chase U Black Wolf Pack. But, like, now, does he just wear the red to, like, be classic Chase U?
I want to see an evolution.
But, like, what other sweaters could this man...
Maybe,
like
maybe not a sweater.
Like a... I don't... think this guy can wrestle without a sweater anymore, to be honest.
I think he's someone that just will look, because he used to wear what, like the basketball jersey?
What did he wear before?
Yeah. Harlem Bravado.
He wore like no shirt.
I think he dressed like Chris Hero. I think he had like the,
he had like a vest.
I think so.
Like Aladdin.
Oh no. Okay. No, he was topless.
Yeah. But now he's wearing a sweater. So like, maybe he needs like a Coogee sweater, like a
weird looking guy.
He needs like the next step. If like they become champs is like the, like bougie sweaters, like fancy colorful ones,
like a button up maybe.
Ooh, yeah.
Look at this guy.
Wow. Yeah. Harlem Bravado.
Harlem Bravado.
I love Andre Chase.
Did somebody say Andre Chase?
In fact, I did. Next week, Duke versus Ridge. So yeah, you think Andre might show up? I mean, he might not because of the attack. He's still selling that he's dead.
I think we see Duke taken out next week, and I think both are done.
And then Thea, something with Thea.
Riley will have to be taken out. Then Thea's on her own.
I think Thea Ridge is something that could happen.
Okay.
It could be shocking. We also get Pete Dunne versus Trick Williams in the last man standing match. We have the tag team match, Rascals versus Fraxium.
Yep,
take my money on.
Nuts.
Yeah, I assume Wes getting involved there.
I think so. I don't see a title change this soon after the win.
Yeah. We also have Charlie versus Javon Evans and the Jordan Grace Open Challenge.
Nice. So I think that sounds like a pretty big episode next
week. Yeah, next week is pretty stacked for sure. Our main event segment, the women's champ, Roxanne Perez, hot off her victory on Sunday, makes her way to the ring, and she has the microphone and her title. She says, "Oh, I'm sure you're sick of seeing this, me as champion, retained once again. Jada Parker may have slapped the taste out of my mouth, but defeat tastes worse, doesn't it?" Good line from Roxanne. She then says, I'm second place in PLE victories. So Io and Asuka, I'm smashing all your records from NXT. All these PLEs that you thought you did, I'm beating you one by one. And
that's a crazy stat, actually. So she's second.
Yeah.
She said what, behind Asuka?
Asuka, yeah.
Yeah, which is difficult to kind of overtake that.
That's a while.
But yeah, it's pretty impressive.
She says that even the main roster can't stop talking about Roxanne Perez and gives some flowers to Jada. She says, "Jada Parker might be the future, but what I have can't be touched, can't be produced. And everyone always wants to talk about the fantasy dream matches like Roxanne versus X or Roxy versus so-and-so. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, I will beat you. When the lights go out and Chelsea Green's music hits." Chelsea Green comes out.
I always enjoy the like the double bluff kind of thing, you know, like Jinder coming out and then The Rock coming out and stuff like that. I find it pretty funny.
Chelsea says, "Oh, were you expecting someone else?" And then says, "Oh, this one section over here smells like mildew and BO," and then kind of walks off. And she goes, "Hey, you know, don't you know I'm beloved here by everyone? I can do anything I want." And then says to Roxanne, "Oh, and aren't you a fun-sized champ?" Referring to her height. And mentions, what does she call Pierce?
Oh.
Peabody Pierce.
She's Pierce. Got the nasty neck and all that.
So she's nasty neck, and now she's got no flavor Ava. when she basically steps up to Roxanne, says "No flavor Ava," and the lights go out again.
First of all, just Chelsea Green's great.
Yeah.
She's so funny, and coming out, you know, she's kind of a heel, but she's loved.
Yeah.
She's telling everyone that they stink and need deodorant, and they're like, "Yeah, we love you, Chelsea."
I don't hate her for doing that.
No, she's completely correct.
Like, it's the PC, there's like fucking 100 people there, but like in normal arenas, stadiums, guys.
Yeah.
Deodorant. The lights go out, and out comes NXT's new assignee, Julia.
Hmm.
Julia Gulia. Is it just me, or does she spell it weird?
It's G-I-U-L-I-A. It's the
Julia.
Italian.
Julia.
Yeah.
Julia comes out, and Chelsea tries to attack Julia here, but Julia ain't having none of that, and hits her with a knee right to the face, sending Green to the outside. which leaves Roxanne and Julia face to face. A stare down here as Roxanne is looking all real mean. Julia grabs the microphone and she says just a few simple words. Me, you, CW.
Nice.
Drops the mic.
Yeah, I think that's what we kind of assumed when Julia, we knew she was showing up. It was if and it was a matter of when, really. I think that match sounds great. They're already stacking this CW show, which I like. You know, it's a month out. They should hype this up as one of the bigger shows, even bigger than their PLEs, really, because it's a big change going to CW. I think that match would be awesome. Roxanne is the best woman in this division. There's an argument that she is one of the best women in the whole company, I think. And I think her and Julia is fantastic. Do you see Julia wrestling before that match? Do you see her in a squash against a Chelsea Green or something?
True,
like that?
Yeah, you could. You could
like,
do her
you do
Green,
kind
yeah.
of want to... It, you want to keep it special, her debut, but I think as well you kind of want to condition your audience with what her finishes and things like that are before having a big match. So you know what near falls to bite on and that sort of thing. So I wonder if we get Chelsea Green v. Julia in maybe 2 weeks or something like that.
Right, right. That's not a bad shout. And that'd be a cool match to kind of have here on NXT. Yeah. I was thinking like with Jordan Grace, Chelsea Green wouldn't be a bad shout for
that.
Yeah,
that would work
next week as well. And then getting the Julia match maybe after
she's
that.
Got the TNA history as well.
Yeah. True. Yeah, like Julia has the aura already, like a great look. The whole barely said anything, but got over pretty.
The
like,
music,
strong.
As far as current WWE music goes, I thought suited her. You know, it sounded pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I think that whole presentation is great, and I think Roxanne sounded great. Like Roxanne, we liked the initial babyface. Oh, I rode the bus stuff. When she turned heel, it was like, ooh, it's a little jarring. But now the fact that, everything she said in the promo is what, like, she's almost talking like smart fan stuff. Yeah. It's like, hey, you're always fantasy booking me versus so-and-so, me versus so-and-so. I'm beating so-and-so's records. I'm doing all this stuff. Like, I'm fucking, 22?
Yeah.
Something crazy like that. So tell me a women's wrestler who's had a better year, like match wise, wrestling wise, like she's
up there for sure,
killing it. Yeah. And as soon as she's unleashed properly on the main roster, will without a doubt be a huge star.
And I think that's maybe a reason why we've had her down in NXT so long. I always think it's a good idea to, you know, they did it with Bron Breakker. He had a great baby face run. It was then, you know, let's see how he looks as a heel and then let's see how he looks in a tag. And we've developed everything now, every possible like way to go. I think her time is numbered as champ. I do see Julia winning this title on the first episode on the CW. And then it's just a matter of time, like finding the right spot to debut her. And I would, as much as I'm enjoying her heel work, I think coming in as a baby face to main roster.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can do the slight transition where she loses the title. She shows the respect after losing it and that kind of thing. And then maybe if you do a women's War Games this year, have her as like a surprise fifth member or something like that as a debut.
Would it be crazy for her to beat Julia?
The first match, like, not against it completely.
I think Julia's great, and we have watched her stuff before WWE, and again, would recommend if you haven't and get familiar. But like, Roxanne's on this crazy run right now. I love this run. I kind of don't want it to end, and kind of want it to continue where she is. Like, line them up, and I beat them. And like, I think that would add so much to it. But
especially if we having like Vakur coming in potentially, coming
but
in.
Then it's like, I don't think you would do that for Julia, right? Yeah. Like, I don't think you'd want to bury her like that.
Right away,
So, but again, I really am into the Roxy stuff for sure. She's becoming one of my favorites to watch. So I think big things. This episode was a hangover edition, but it's setting up again. That's kind of what No Mercy was too. Like, hey, here's what we got right now, but trust us, in the next little while, things are going to get going.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what, like, they're stacking next week's show. The CW in Chicago debut will be absolutely crazy. The week after on the road in St. Louis, that will be nuts. And then We got what, Halloween Havoc in October. Like, mm-hmm. I think they're going to be doing some good stuff.
I think so too.
I think we're in good hands for the next little while with NXT like stepping up and being one of my one of the like. There can be some bad stuff on the show too, but as of late, like it's really picked up. So
yeah, and I think you get these with wrestling, you know, where we'll see it in Dynamite sometimes, where there's a week which is maybe not as exciting, but it's functional in setting things up that are going to be big coming up. And that's definitely what this episode felt like. Next week is a pretty loaded card. And then I imagine it's just all like guns blasting.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. Whether we guns blazing,
but guns blazing. Yeah.
I feel like, yeah. Like things we could have potentially Ricky Starks in NXT. Yeah. We could have other ex-AEW people, whether it's Lucha Bros, which would definitely spice things up in WWE mm-hmm. with tag team. But yeah, I'd say we're going to have some fun in the next little while with NXT.
We have a little bit of feedback as well. We did throw up a feedback thread on our Facebook group. Go give it a follow if you haven't already.
Yes, join the Facebook group. Search Poizarana in Facebook.
And if you're having troubles answering the questions, I do need to change these questions because yeah, yeah. I had someone at our Bash in Berlin watch party go, hey, I want to join your group, but I don't know who your raccoon is and who Tony D's uncle is and all this. We're like, okay, yeah.
Uncle Polly?
These it? Are very, yeah, very in jokes
and,
we got.
And but, Ralph. Yeah.
It's the answers are Ralph, Polly, and Paul now for those trying to join. Right. But yes, you can leave your feedback and we read it out. And we'll start with Magan, who says, first off, hope you've had a good birthday, Davey. Yes, I have. It's been fantastic. A very busy Fallout episode. No IP addresses were needed for Trick, Dub, and Pete Dunne, as it was on site throughout the first hour. The rematch going to a double countout was smart, and marking the blow off and making the blow off a last man standing match guarantees an ending. I don't know. I've seen, wasn't it Ryback and Cena had a last man standing match that ended in like a no contest or something stupid? Right. Never question. Trick was being the second lead for the last little while, with Joe Hendry being the main character on two programs. Next week should put the focus back on Trick as he looks ahead to Chicago. Speaking of Chicago, Julia said all she needed to say after a little bait and switch with Chelsea. Everything Roxy has done in this second title run has been easy. Next week looks very loaded with Rascals and Fraxium, Javon Dempsey, Jordan Grace defending her Knockouts title, and the last man standing match between Trick and Pete. NXT isn't fucking around on its road to a new home.
Thank you, Megan. I'm still scratching my head at why you said no IP addresses were needed.
Yeah.
But
NordVPN.
Yeah. We go to Cameron, who writes in, NXT continues its run of great shows and have even better one planned for next week. The fact that Roxy is a contender for Female Wrestler of the Year at 22 is incredible. She has become such a believable heel. Where does she go when she loses? Rumble in January? With additions of Julia and Vakur in the women's division, continues to be the strongest and easily the best booked. Lyra coming out to save Tatum was nice. Put them on the main roster as a tag team? Question mark. With the potential signings headed to CW, Starks, Machine Guns, Vakur, Julia could take NXT to the next level. Also, Lexus King still sucks.
Yeah.
I liked everything you just said, Cameron.
Yeah, very correct.
I don't know if Tatum on main roster necessarily right away, but Lyra, it gives Lyra something to do. So yeah, it gives Tatum something, like some sort of story. But yeah, I'm not quite sure. But yeah,
I mean, they do need tag teams in that division.
Yeah, so fair enough.
It
yeah.
wouldn't be the worst idea.
But yeah, we do have some things coming. Like again, think if we have Starks, if we have Machine Guns, Vakur, Julia, like yeah, NXT is definitely gonna be heating up.
We have Karen Peterson in the chat, who is commenting on the Julia entrance, who says, love the nod to Hana Kimura with the cherry blossoms on the entrance video.
Oh.
And that it coincided with Hana's birthday.
Oh, damn. September. Nice.
Shared a birthday.
Wow. Yeah. Very nice. Rest in peace, Hana Kimura.
Rest in peace.
There you go. Thanks for writing in, Megan and Cameron, and everyone in the YouTube chat here today. We usually go live Tuesdays at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time, so catch us next Tuesday. You can catch us on Poison Rana this Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, where we'll be chatting all about All Out from Saturday, featuring some great matches. I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view for sure. And while recording, AEW has posted a video of Swerve Strickland buying back his childhood home.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which could only lead to a great storyline.
A home invasion.
Hangman better burn that house down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've done a way better job this year. I think even just, it's a tight turnaround, but the extra week this time, not just being the next week, I think they've built all out pretty nicely in a short space of time. You had a lot of stories kind of ready, pre-all in.
Yeah.
But I think whereas last time, I felt that why are you saving this match for All Out when All In is your stadium show? I think they've done a better job at kind of simultaneously building this year.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely looking forward to this pay-per-view, and we'll be watching.
Yeah.
But follow us, Poison Rana. Search that in your podcast app. Search that in your socials. Give us a little follow. Check out all the stuff that we got going on. And, of course, patreon.com/poisonrana. $5 to become a friend, and you get hundreds of podcasts, wrestling reviews, movie reviews, and so much more. So check it out and let us know what you think. We love podcasting for you people. We enjoy all the postmarks out there, all the NXT friends out there, and we love you. So hopefully we did an okay job while we are extremely hungover.
I think we did all right. I spaced out a few times. I'm not going to lie.
But
we got you guys.
We did it. So let us know. How did you think?
We'll be here talking NXT.
Let us know. Did we do an okay job? Did we pull it off?
Yeah.
Being extremely hungover.
We're very honest with you guys.
Yeah. We're not like John and Way.
No. We don't lie. They fucks up all the time and they're just like, oh, my kids. No, come on. You went boozing. You went to the after hours, John. Who are you kidding?
Imagine taking John Pollock to the places we went last night. He'd fire us. thank you, everyone, in the YouTube chat, as always. And we love and appreciate you. I, myself, Brain Harrington. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And happy birthday, Dave.
Ahoy!
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.